Hello and welcome to a SearchOracle.com podcast, Postgres versus MySQL. During this podcast, we will hear from Jim Muljenski, Chief Architect at EnterpriseDB. This podcast is being brought to you by EnterpriseDB. For more information on your sponsor, visit their website at www.enterprisedb.com. So let's get started. So Jim, before we dive into the pros and cons of using Postgres versus MySQL, can you explain why so many companies today are looking into open source solutions?
I think the biggest driver today is really around the economy. With the economy pushing everybody to look at their cost structure inside their enterprises and in the data center, open source is a good alternative in order to keep your licensing costs down. And it started years ago, and this latest financial crisis we're in today is really escalating that. Also, what people are doing is they're a little bit tired of being locked into different proprietary vendors. So with an open source solution, you have the flexibility and there's no vendor lock-in. You have the ability to control your own destiny.
Are there other open source databases that companies normally consider?
Well, the big two are really Postgres and MySQL, but there are many other open source databases out there. Ingress is a database that has been around for a number of years, 20, 30 years, and they recently open sourced their code several years ago. So now they fall into the open source database category. And then there's other smaller players like Firebird and MaxDB. And now there's some more niche players, so something like an HSQL for a Java-based database, or something new like the Apache CouchDB for when you really want an object relational database as opposed to a more traditional RDBMS.
What are the three greatest strengths and weaknesses of Postgres?
I think Postgres's greatest strength is really its tagline, the most advanced open source database. So its advanced features make it a really strong player in enterprises. So it has things like stored procedures and multi-version concurrency control, point-in-time recovery, and all those features have been in Postgres for a number of years. And then the new features that it's constantly adding, like in the latest release of Postgres 8.4, which recently just came out, is the ever-stronger security that they build into the core database. So this way, it's used in more security-conscious companies out there. The other real strength is the BSD license, whereas a lot of open-source projects are GPL, and people are a little afraid of GPL because it has some virus-like tendencies. So companies that are unfamiliar with open source, they think that if they build something with a GPL license, they may have to open source all their code. That's not really true, but they're a lot more comfortable with a BSD license. It's very simple to understand, and there's really no strings attached when you're using a BSD license. But I think the greatest strength of PostgreSQL is the open source community, the PostgreSQL community itself. It is such a diverse group of people being adding to the betterment of the Postgres project itself that by far it helps build all the other strong features that are in there and help promote Postgres out there in the world. That being said, there are a number of weaknesses within Postgres that the community is addressing. And companies like EnterpriseDB and others are helping to address out in the commercial world as well. Probably the biggest weakness in Postgres is just the lack of a number of ISVs supporting Postgres as its main database. There's several of them, but it's nothing like a MySQL or a Microsoft SQL Server or an Oracle. There's a number of independent software vendors out there that write their products specifically for a database, and usually Postgres isn't chosen for that. So that's something that EnterpriseDB as a commercial entity around Postgres is trying to promote out there, but that's a long process in order to change that behavior. Then getting into more technical weaknesses, is one of the things is Postgres doesn't have an integrated replication solution. So when people are starting to set up their databases, they want something simple. And when they want to do replication for something like high availability or horizontal scalability, they want to be able to replicate out to another database easily. And Postgres has the ability to do that, but it's through add-on projects, something like a Sloney or other built projects that are built around the core database itself. So it adds complexity to it. So it, a lot of people don't choose Postgres initially because of that fact. And then the biggest one from a commercial standpoint that I see is the lack of the ability to do an upgrade in place between major versions of Postgres. That just recently has been addressed through the latest version of Postgres 8.4 through a project called PG Migrator, but that's still being tested, and it's still not 100% ready for prime time, so I would never advise somebody to upgrade their terabyte Postgres database in place just yet. So that holds people back from migrating to newer versions of Postgres. So hopefully all these issues are going to be addressed in the future, and the Postgres community is definitely working on all of them. But it is things that do hold people back from adopting Postgres.
Okay, so what are the three greatest strengths and weaknesses of MySQL?
I think one of the big advantages of MySQL is its performance. It's what it's known for, of being able to serve up data very, very quickly. It's MySAM storage engine allows users and applications to return back data very, very quickly from very simple queries. So it makes it an ideal choice for a lot of database-backed websites. The other real strength of it is the popularity. Everybody you know knows about MySQL. A lot of them have dabbled with it, and there's a strong backing behind it. So this way, if you're ever looking for a MySQL developer or a administrator, they're fairly easy to find because people have been using it for years, and just the sheer popularity of it, it makes it simple to find resources on it, whether it be books or websites on how to use MySQL. Another strong point is the corporate backing of MySQL. So enterprises are very concerned about what happens if something goes wrong. Who do they call? Right now, MySQL is owned by Sun. They're a very large company in our industry, and they have the ability to call them for support. And as the Oracle acquisition goes through, there'll be even a larger company behind that that's experienced in maintaining databases. That's something very appealing for very large enterprises. As far as the weaknesses go of MySQL, there's a number of them. We'll concentrate on a couple. One of it, from a technical standpoint, is the scalability. One of the things that we've seen out in the field and that we hear from a lot of customers out there is that as MySQL grows inside applications, whether it be the number of concurrent users accessing the database or as you run it on larger and larger hardware with more CPU cores, MySQL doesn't scale the way you'd expect other databases to. So it has difficulty in scaling to a large number of concurrent users or running on very large hardware. Another one from an open source standpoint is the MySQL community, in that it's really controlled by the MySQL company itself, which is now Sun, in that it's very difficult to get input from independent people submitting patches. There's a process to be able to do that, but people are a little reluctant in order to submit a patch that would benefit just a single commercial entity. Another thing is the immature advanced features in MySQL. A lot of enterprises expect to have things like robust security or stored procedure support or trigger support, having server-side coding ability, and those are features that MySQL recently added in over the last year or two, so it hasn't really matured to the point that it's enterprise-worthy enough for a lot of companies out there.
What kinds of applications would you use in each type of database?
For MySQL, it was designed from the beginning to be a very strong website database, so this way when you have your product catalog out on a website and then you're going to purchase something, maybe update that product catalog or your customer profile, it's something that MySQL is very good at, of mostly static data, returning it back very quickly, and then an occasional write to the back-end database. Another thing that it would be very good for are ISVs or open source projects that really built for MySQL. It applies to really any application on a specific database, but there's a large number of ISVs out there building specifically for MySQL. So in using it in that environment, MySQL is a good, strong database for where it plays well, and a lot of those applications fit into that niche perfectly fine. So even though it's an open source database, and a lot of enterprises are uncomfortable with using that because they're used to using Oracle or DB2 for a number of years, MySQL is very good for things like that when the ISV really backs and supports that database behind it. For Postgres, what I really see is for transactional databases. So this way, if you have a point-of-sale system, billing application, or something on the reporting side like an operational data store, where your data is constantly flowing in and you're having near real-time data flowing into your data store and while you're running reports on that, Postgres is very good at that, of having concurrency between writes and reads and maintaining a transaction when it happens. So a point-of-sale system, when a customer buys something, you're sure that that data is recorded in the database. And even in a failure situation like the power goes out in your store, you're not going to lose that data. Another thing are the new Web 2.0 websites, the social networking websites, where users are constantly updating a blog or their status, so there's a large number of writes hitting the back-end database while people are still reading from that. So that's something that really plays to the strength of Postgres, of having those concurrent reads and writes, and that goes back to the advanced feature of multi-version concurrency control.
How does the MySQL community compare to the Postgres community?
I think it goes back to what I said is one of the weaknesses of MySQL, in that the MySQL community is a closed, company-controlled community, in that there are MySQL employees who are now Sun employees that determine what gets into the MySQL product itself. It's not something like Postgres, which has a diverse group of core members that are span across a number of different companies, EnterpriseDB, Red Hat, and many others have influence over what gets into the product itself. So this way, it becomes a very open community in Postgres compared to the closed community of MySQL.
What is the future of Postgres?
I think it's really strong, and it, because the community realizes its weaknesses, it's progressing strong technically, but it's also growing as the economic times are forcing people to look at more cost-effective alternatives, and people are a little weary about what's going to happen to MySQL as the Oracle acquisition finalizes. People are looking to see what other alternatives there are, so they're taking a second look at Postgres. So what we see right now in the community is the involvement growing, and people are starting to use it more from the MySQL side, moving over to Postgres, because it is a good open source database and a good alternative to MySQL. And then there's more and more corporate backing behind Postgres, which is allowing bigger and larger features to be able to be maintained by the community itself. So this way, things like one-click installers that Postgres allows you to be able to run a single installer across multiple different environments is something that takes a lot of time that really only a corporate-backed entity would be able to dedicate that type of time to, whereas Postgres in the past has been very good at creating small patches and creating features incrementally. Now that more people are involved in Postgres, they could take on bigger and larger projects.
Considering recent acquisitions, what do you see as the future of MySQL?
I think a lot of it depends on how the acquisition with Oracle plays out. They still haven't finalized that because the Department of Justice is taking a close look at that. If Oracle, historically, when they've acquired other database technologies, has brought it into its mix of products and then put it in a small niche, so this way it doesn't take away from its Oracle Enterprise sales. They've done that with Times 10 and other databases. So this way, they're able to progress it along in a small boxed-in corner. And I believe that Oracle may do the same thing with MySQL, of using it as a tool in order to sell more Oracle. That being said, they may progress it more technically, but chances are they're not going to add more enterprise class features to it, which would strip away some of their core database sales. And because of that, you're starting to see the little ripples and forks inside the MySQL community. So the Drizzle project, for instance, is a fork of MySQL. So people are taking the open source code and doing other things with it. So this way they're not going to be locked into a Sun or Oracle in the future.
What is easier, moving from MySQL to Postgres or the other way around?
It's definitely going from MySQL to Postgres. Because of the immature server-side code that MySQL has of stored procedures, most developers really only send simple SQL queries out to the database and aren't doing any stored procedures. So those types of applications move very easily to any database. Whereas in Postgres, people are using a lot of the robust features like the stored procedure support, like the trigger support, and moving that to a MySQL, which may not support those types of features just yet, becomes a very difficult transition.
What is the relationship between Enterprise DB and Postgres?
Enterprise DB is a strong contributor and sponsor of the PostgreSQL community. We employ several of the key contributors to the community, such as Dave Page and Bruce Momgen, as well as submit a lot of code back to the community. And we're always there to sponsor a number of different community events, such as the Postgres conferences, whether they be the global one in Ottawa each year or some of the regional conferences as well, of just being there in order to help progress the community along through its various endeavors.
Can you provide some examples of how Enterprise DB clients are currently using Postgres?
Sure. Probably the biggest one is Sony Online Entertainment. They're a division of Sony, handling their online gaming division. So right now they're running one of their largest games called Free Realms on our Postgres Plus Advanced Server product, utilizing a lot of the key Postgres features in there. So this way, this handled a large number of concurrent users handling a lot of number of transactions. So in the online games, as people move throughout the different worlds and they acquire objects, all that is saved in a database. They also handle a lot of their other infrastructure in there, such as their online forums. Another one of our customers is Hi5. Hi5 is a social networking site such as MySpace or Facebook, and their infrastructure is entirely built on PostgreSQL. It has millions of concurrent users, and they do that by handling it across 50 to 100 Postgres databases in the back end and shard their data across all those servers. Another one is Backcountry.com, is an e-commerce site selling outdoor equipment. They run their infrastructure on Postgres, and they handle the product catalog, their billing, and really everything that an e-commerce site needs to be able to handle.
Well, Jim, thanks for taking the time to join us today.
Thank you.
I'd like to thank Enterprise DB for bringing us this SearchOracle.com podcast, and thank you all so much for joining us today.